The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I'll go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Who do you think you are? That's really the question they're asking Jesus today. Who do you think you are? A number of years ago, I served as an as an interim pastor to a church just on the south side of Chicago. It wasn't a Lutheran church, and I wasn't ordained. I had graduated from seminary and was going to be headed off to my Lutheran internship later that year. And this opening came up for a few months, and my bishop said, "Hey, try it out. Go for it." And I jumped at it because it was pretty straightforward, right? The position was easy, right? Get them through the summer before they call a new long-term senior pastor, show up on Sundays, preach, preside, go to hospitals. Great, the stuff I love. Easy peasy. Well, spoiler alert, it was anything but easy peasy. Back in its heyday, that church had been one of the largest, one of the most dynamic and influential churches on the south side of Chicago. I mean, books had been written about them. It had been influential in the community and throughout Chicago's history during the civil rights movement. And when I got there, it was in shambles. In the past 5 months prior to my arrival, membership had cut in half 1 year, and then the next year it cut in half again, and then the next year it cut in half again. And the people who were still there were angry. They were frustrated with one another. They were hurting. They wanted to go back to the glory days, but those days were gone. And if you've ever been a part of a system like this, you might have experienced something similar where nobody wanted to say it out loud, right? We do this when things are bad. Sometimes as human beings, we have this tendency to just kind of close up and zip it, put a lid on it, stop the bleeding. So that by the time I got to this church, nobody had to make the announcement. We're not talking about this. But this church had been hurting for 5 years. And the order of the day was, do not talk about the things that are going wrong. And this is just where we find the temple leaders in today's gospel. They are trying desperately to hold together a broken system, a broken people, a broken society. And Jesus keeps putting his fingers into those tender spots that nobody wants to talk about. The abuses of power, the Roman occupation, the sick, the dying. I mean, things are falling apart, and Jesus keeps sticking his nose in it. And it's what's worse is that today's gospel comes right on the heels of the episode when Jesus storms into the temple, turns over the tables, drives the money changers out with whips and cords. He's not much in the good graces of the temple leaders by now. And it would be bad enough if it was just that, but he's been doing this kind of stuff everywhere. And it's not just annoying. No, he's actively demolishing that careful balancing act that everyone is doing just to try to keep things together, right? We see this when he asked them this question, they kind of have to, well, should we say this or this? They say nothing. And today, they're asking him that question, who do you think you are? You know, maybe you're the problem. If you haven't figured this out about me yet, you will. But sometimes I can be a little dense. And when I showed up to this church, I didn't know the rules of not talking about the church's problems. I didn't get the memo. And so one day, about halfway through my time there, I show up to a church board meeting, and somebody asked me to reflect on what I was seeing. And so I did. I talked about the building problems, the conflicts, the staff problems, all of it. I opened my mouth. And afterwards, a few people said, hey, thanks. We haven't been able to talk about those things for years. It was refreshing. And I walked away actually feeling kind of good, maybe even a little like powerful. Well, fast forward to Sunday morning after the board meeting. The prelude music starts, and just before I'm about to walk down the aisle to begin worship, I get this tap on my shoulder. And you know you're in trouble when somebody asks to talk with you, but they start talking at you, right? And so this board member starts off quietly, and I can hear that he's angry, so I say something like, hey, you know, why don't we talk about this after worship? I can hear you're a little upset. And at that, he explodes. He just starts yelling at the top of his voice in the back of the sanctuary. And this is a big, open, empty sanctuary. And everyone can hear what he's saying to me. He's bawling me out. So we move outside, and he continues to bawl me out, and neighbors are looking out the houses next to the church. And essentially, he was yelling, who do you think you are? You know, I think the problem here is you. And eventually, he storms off. And I'm glad that I can laugh about this now, because at the time, I wasn't laughing. Worship was about to begin, and I was left trembling. And I came back into the sanctuary, and I'm sick to my stomach. And I'll never forget how my whole body, my muscles all around my body were just shaking all through worship. Because those words, how dare you, those words clung to me, right? I couldn't focus on anything else for days. Those were ringing in my ears for like months. You're the problem. And I have to tell you, after that summer that was supposed to be so easy peasy, I was totally in shambles, totally full of doubt, questioning even whether I wanted to be in ministry at all after that. Anyone who's been called the problem knows the lessons that you internalize afterwards, right? Just stay safe. Don't ever open your mouth again. Work as hard as you can never to land yourself in that situation ever again, because it feels awful to be cast out as the problem. And today, this is the beginning of the temple leaders doing this to Jesus. They're saying, maybe you're the problem. Things would be easier without you here. And without missing a beat, Jesus doesn't let this stick to him at all. Jesus starts talking about baptism. That's no coincidence. Because at his baptism, we hear the voice of God say who we are, right? You remember that when the breath of God comes, the thunder, the clouds open up, and the breath of God comes, and it moves over the waters, and a voice thunders out, "You are my child, my beloved, my delight." That's not just who you think you are, that's who you are. Each week, like I did today, I offer suggestions about how we should prepare ourselves for worship for Zoom while we're in this kind of weird space of being away from our sanctuary. And I say things like light a candle, turn on gallery mode on Zoom so you can see one another, and make sure to give money. But you know, you might also notice I say things like put out a bowl of water. And I say that not so that we can make our space feel more like church, but because these waters are the answer to that nagging, terrible accusation that we're a problem. For in these waters, God speaks to us, "You're not the problem, you're my beloved. In you I delight." And God gives us the gift of baptism by water because water is everywhere, so that when we're taking a bath or a shower or doing the dishes or bobbing in the ocean, we can remember these words, "You are my beloved, in you I delight." The hymn that I selected for today, for our hymn of the day, is based on Mary's song that she sings right after she learns she's pregnant with Jesus. And in her community, that was a problem. She wasn't married. She was a teenager. She was thought to have had an affair, and she could, by law, have been put to death by stoning for being the problem. But God comes to her and speaks the word of delight and belovedness, and out of her mouth comes this beautiful song. It's the song of a people who are the problem. Who do you think you are? Beloved child of God, that's who you are. In fact, you're so beloved that you're free to open your mouth. You're free to be dense. You're free to hope that things could be better and say so. You're free to speak the truth even when it hurts. Because, beloved, child of God, that's who you are. Amen.